Yes, I'm here, Taylor. You there?
Yeah. Hey, how are you, man?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're kind of quiet. It's a little hard to hear you.
All righty. Is this any better?
Awesome. Cool.
All righty. Good deal. Good deal. Are you out on the West Coast or are you on the East Coast right now?
East Coast. We just got back from Florida. We were filming a video and now we're in rehearsals getting ready to go on tour.
Yeah, I know. I noticed you're getting ready to play like Rock Am Ring and Rock Am Ring in Europe. I think those festivals are going to be fun.
Yeah, they are. We're psyched.
Oh, yeah. European festivals. I wish we had a festival circuit like the European festival circuit because it is so incredible.
The European festival circuit, it's a blast. We've done it before and it's a lot of fun.
Do you have a favorite festival that you have played over the years?
It's hard to pick a favorite, but I mean, Download was a lot of fun because it was raining and playing outside in the daytime and playing rock and roll, so it's always a little weird when the sun's up.
Yeah.
having some gloomy skies is fitting.
That's cool.
Download was a lot of fun. Tea in the Park was great. I don't know. We're doing them all again this year, so I'll let you know after.
Sounds good. We're hoping you come to Philly soon. I know you were here just recently in November, but it would be nice to have you come back.
We definitely will be. We're touring everywhere. I think we'll probably do a headline run in the fall, is my guess.
Now let's talk about your new album, which, by the way, I really like a lot. I think it's one of the best records of 2014 so far.
Thank you.
It's really great. I love the fact that it's not all one style. You go all over the place. And at the same time, the lyrics in this record seem very, very personal, more personal than some other records that I've listened to recently. Was this record a very personal record for you?
Absolutely. I mean, all the songs that I write are, equally personal in one way or another, because I'm writing them, so they all have a personal meaning to me. But yes, I mean, of course.
I was reading about how you were recording and then Sandy hit, ruined your equipment, messed the studio up, and everything ended up full circle. You ended up, after replacing your equipment, being back in the studio. Did the direction of the album change because of the delay by Sandy?
Not the direction. A lot of it was written before that. The title track, Going to Hell, was written after Sandy during that kind of that break while we were looking to rebuild everything. So we got a song out of it, I guess. But it was more, we lost time and it delayed, the release of everything and putting it out and getting it all recorded. No, there was already the common themes and the storyline had definitely kind of developed, but we went through a lot to make this record. So I think you can definitely hear that in the record and in the song, where if you listen to it from front to back, it really does kind of tell a story because it was written over a course of however long it was. Yeah. And so it really captures kind of a moment in the band's life for us, I think. If you listen to it all the way through, you can hear that.
You're a lot younger than me, and I became emotionally invested sort of in listening to it. Like, it really hit me, so. And...
Oh, thank you. Well, that's what we are trying to accomplish is a proper record where you can actually really delve into it. It can take you places.
Like I said, I love the fact that it's not all just ass-kicking rock and roll. You go all over the place. I love a lot of ass-kicking rock and roll, don't get me wrong, but I also like it when I listen to an album and there are left turns and directions that you don't expect, and I felt like you did a lot of that on this record. You ended with a song that I thought was great, but I didn't expect you to end a record with it, Waiting for a Friend. Why did you choose that song to end the record?
I think that was kind of, it just kind of seemed, it was this, it was the simple kind of sum up song of going, after all this crazy story of the record, it ends with, I'm still sitting in this room by myself and, that nothing's really changed. I've told this whole story, but at the end of the day, I'm still just by myself with a guitar. So I think that kind of seemed like the fitting end to it, going, here it is. It's still the same thing, even after all this. And then, hopefully people will start it again and go on the roller coaster again.
Now, were you actually in the studio when Sandy hit?
No, we weren't in the studio itself, but we were in New York, and the studio was in Hoboken, New Jersey. And it was pretty crazy because we weren't expecting it to be so bad. And it's called Water Music, and it's actually below sea level in Jersey. So it floods a lot, like even just in a heavy rainstorm. Like, so the people at the studio are really used to it. But we had taken over the B room over there, and we'd taken it, and our producer had, like, done it up to our specs and really, like, modded it for us, and we had a great thing going. And that room never flooded because it was elevated. So everyone was moving, like, their gear from the other rooms into our room, preparing for it, and it didn't matter. It was, you know, 8 feet of water and sewage that just came through and took out everything. And then hazmat had to come in. But I was in New York at the time, and the power was very blue, and all of Lower Manhattan was completely black, which was crazy. I had all candles, a guitar, in the cold, and that's where Going to Hell came from.
What was it like walking around New York in the dark after all of that happened?
It was really fucking crazy. It was, and it lasted for a long time.
Yeah.
I finally got out of there after about, I think it was like a week, and I finally found a hotel room with some power, but it was certainly weird, because I know it's not the city of lights technically, you know, Paris, but it really, when you black it out entirely, it was scary, man. It was weird.
I can't even imagine what New York would look like all completely blacked out like that. I bet it's pretty intimidating.
Dark. It's really, really dark.
I bet.
It's black, because, wow, you know, the big tower and buildings and stuff, I mean, it's dark.
Wow.
There's no stars.
Wow. Sounds pretty exciting and pretty creepy at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's nuts.
How did you meet the musicians, and was it an auditioning process?
Oh, no. Actually, it came together really organically, and I'm really lucky about that, because, you know, you can't force these things, and especially in this industry, it's really hard to find the right people to work with and, you know, gel. I met our producer, Kato, who is essentially kind of like the fifth member of the band. He just doesn't tour with us. I met him, and through him, and we hit it off immediately, and through him I met Ben, guitar player, and Ben had a band with Mark and Jamie at the time, and we started writing songs together, and I basically went, hey, I'm taking your band, changing the name, and I'm now the singer, and I'm writing all the songs, we're rewriting everything. So it kind of naturally came together as the four or five of us, so it worked out really well.
I'm glad you mentioned the chemistry aspect, because I don't know if people really understand the importance of chemistry in a band and how a little off chemistry can really throw a band off.
Oh yeah, no, it's so important. I mean, you gotta live with everyone.
Yeah, you gotta live with them in tight quarters for a long time.
Long, long time. You gotta really hate each other.
Speaking of spending time on the road, do you ever get lonely being on the road? Because I've heard that from other musicians before, how life on the road can get lonely at times. Do you ever feel that way, or do you keep yourself busy so that you don't get that way?
I mean, I'm always so busy on the road. I mean, from interviews to sound checks to shows to meet and greets to all, you know, to all that stuff. It's not just the show. Like,
yeah,
there's radio. I mean, so we're not just playing for an hour a night. It's an all-day thing and all-night thing. But no, I mean, touring, you definitely, when you go on really, really long runs, it can definitely get daunting at times. For sure. And I mean, everyone goes through their like mid-tour blues and everyone does it at a different time. But really, we have a great crew. Our crew is very much like a family. The band's like a family. So we keep each other's spirits up, and we get to play music every night. It's the greatest job on the planet. So, you know, to complain is you can't.
Yeah.
But no, there's definitely times when it gets, you know, you feel really kind of isolated.
When you're on the road, do you get to tour at all? Like visit like tourist attractions or see any scenic places, or are you usually too busy for that?
I don't. I see everything from a car window, plane window, train, a train, a car, a room in a car, a plane, and a, you know.
Yep.
You see everything in passing. Mark and Jamie, our bass player, our drummer, get to see a little bit more, because they ditch out on the interviews and they're like, peace, we're going to go do stuff. So they take pictures of the Great Wall of China and show it to me.
Oh, how nice of them.
And they go, hey. And I'm like, you assholes. Have a good day. You get to come out. And our drummer, I always make fun of him. I'm like, you get to go see everything, and then you get to come back and hit things. Okay,
yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, you guys have fun with it, so that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. The road becomes, you got to just make it, keep it light. So it ends up just being jokes and jokes and jokes. And it gets really, really brutal. Like, we have a rule, no physical jokes. We're not in the physical pranks at all, but emotional battering. All for it. End of a year-long tour, it's it's brutal, and it's so funny, but probably only to us.
You have two albums under your belt. How have you grown as a songwriter from the Light Me Up record to the Going to Hell record?
Well, hopefully I got better. I think the biggest difference is I wrote the first record when I was 14 and 15, and I wrote this one when I was 19 and 20, and you know, that period of time, that's a big transitional period in anyone's life. So this album's, I think, much more mature. It's much older, I think, is probably the best way to say it. It's older.
Yeah.
I'm older.
I wouldn't have guessed a 22-year-old or 20-year-old kid wrote that record. Definitely sounded very adult.
Thank you.
Are you always writing music? Do you just always have a pen and paper and a little guitar handy to write?
Yeah, it's constant. I carry around a notebook, and I switched over to like writing into my phone for a minute, and then I can't work technology at all. I'm terrible at it. And I deleted everything and couldn't get it back.
So now I'm back
to the old school pen and paper, which I always have a pad on me. But I tend not to write too much on the road, because it's such a different mindset. And really, to write anything, you've got to be isolated in your own head. There's no privacy on the road. You're constantly around people, living with them, So you're never by yourself long enough to actually get into the meat of it. But so the writing comes from when you get off tour, and then I go away, and isolate ourselves and shut our phones off. And it's a whole process of living inside your own head for a little bit until you start to go a little bit insane.
Yeah.
And then that's where the meat of the writing comes from. But you're always jotting down ideas and things like that. I always have a song in my head.
Do you isolate yourself from other people when you get into songwriting mode, turn the phone off, all that stuff?
Yeah. Entirely.
Cool.
You have to. I mean, I know some people, like, I know Noel Gallagher says he writes on the road, and I can't do that. I don't, it doesn't work for me. I've got to be alone with my own thoughts. It's the artist thing. If you isolate yourself, so you start to go a little bit crazy, and then and then the ideas start flowing, because you sit there just, by yourself in your own head, waiting and waiting and waiting for something to inspire you, for an idea to come. And it's the most torturous process in the world, but it's also the most rewarding, because when you write something and you know it's good, you know it, and it's kind of like sex. It's a lot of work. And then for 15 seconds of pleasure and utter bliss of, that was amazing. But fuck, now I have to do it all again.
How do you keep your voice strong? Because I think you have a really strong, powerful voice. Do you do vocal exercises? What do you do?
I don't do anything.
Seriously?
I literally don't do anything.
I bet people are so envious of you.
I don't know. I just sound like that. I don't warm up. I don't do vocal exercises. I've never taken a vocal lesson.
Was there a song you heard when you were a wee little child, maybe a video you saw or a concert you attended, when you decided, I want to be a rocker?
Well, I wanted to be a songwriter. That was when I was younger, because I listened to my dad's record collection growing up, and it started with the Beatles for me. They're my favorite band of all time, and I heard the Beatles, and I want to write songs. So that's the reason I started writing songs when I was really young. And I grew up watching all my dad's like Zeppelin concerts and The Who and Pink Floyd and AC/DC and all that. So it was embedded in me at a young age. But then when I went to a White Stripes concert when I was young, I don't know how old I was, but it was so fucking loud, and there was only two people on stage, and they were making so much noise, and it was so, like, to actually see and hear it and be there in person, that was kind of a moment where I went, well, that's what I want to do.
Nice.
That for a living. They have a good job. That looks like a good life.
Was it difficult transitioning from actress to rocker?
Well, it wasn't a transition for me at all. For me, it was just I finally could quit my day job. Like, acting was always a day job to me. Like, while I was looking for the right band members and trying to write a record worth of material that I wanted people to hear and developing as a musician. So for me, it wasn't a transition at all. It was just I can finally fully focus on music. For the public, I'm sure, it took a minute. But we really did it kind of grassroots way. I mean, we formed a band, we toured, in 2 years. And then now, two records, two EPs later, here we are.
I remember talking to Brandon Geist at Revolver Magazine in 2010 about one of the issues. I used to interview him whenever an issue came out. And when your first record came out in about 2010, he said, watch out for this band. Straight up, I asked him, out of all the new stuff you've been listening to, who should we be watching out for? And he mentioned your band and a couple other bands. And he said, watch out for them. They're going to be good.
Yeah,
so.
he he's awesome. I love Brandon.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And yeah, he's been giving you a lot of love from the beginning.
Yeah, he's been really supportive of us.
What music are you listening to right now just to enjoy?
Well, I'm still listening. I still can't get enough of my good old Beatles.
Of course.
Of course. But right now I'm really obsessed with the new Soundgarden record, King Animal. Get enough of it.
It's a great record.
I've been listening to that on repeat. I guess that's probably the most current thing that... what I'm listening to the most right now.
Also, I just want to let you know, my cat Loki likes your record. When I put it on yesterday to listen to it while I was prepping for the interview, he went and sat down right by the speaker.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I actually tweeted a picture of him by the speaker. So check your Twitter feed for it, because it is there. But yeah, whenever he likes music that I listen to, he goes and sits down by the speaker.
Oh, that's awesome. I love cats. I'm so allergic to cats, so I can't have one. But I love them. They're like one of my favorite animals. And I wish I could.
He dug it. He walked, as soon as I put it on, he walked right over to the speaker and sat down.
That's awesome.
Have you, and I know your album just came out. Are you already writing ahead for your next record?
Yeah. I already have like half the next record. I had to stop because once you write songs, you want to record them. So I really had to stop writing for a minute because we're just starting the record cycle for this record, Going to Hell. So I had to pause on that. But yeah, no, we got a lot.
Where are you drawing inspiration from for this record? Are there any events, incidents that have occurred in this world that have drawn some inspiration for some songs?
I mean, absolutely. We toured on Light Me Up for like 2.5 years, and we went all around the world, and seeing it with your own two eyes, even if it's just from a car window, it really kind of bothered me. It's not in a good state, and we're not doing things right.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Like, we don't treat each other right. We don't treat the earth right. The imbalance of power and the way it's structured is so wrong, and I don't have the answer of how to fix it, but it certainly affected me, and I think you can kind of hear that in the songs.
Were you questioning religion when you wrote the song Absolution?
I question everything.
Okay.
So it's not just religion. It's not just anything. I question everything, as I think everyone should.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that specific, and I also don't like to get too specific with explaining songs because I think it destroys it for the listener. I like them to hear it with an open ear, and whatever it means to you and whatever world mm-hmm. it takes the listener into, that's what it is.
Okay.
But you know, whatever I'm writing about personally, it doesn't matter. Anytime mm-hmm. I hear a songwriter or an artist that I love talk explain a song, it always bums me out because it's never what I mm-hmm. thought it was.
Yeah.
It destroys it for me from from a fan's perspective. So I like to kind of keep it open and let the fans interpret it for themselves.
Because yeah, I was actually going to ask you about why'd you bring the shotgun to the party, because what I took out of that is there are too many kids being over medicated, and because of that we're seeing some of these awful and horrendous tragedies.
Yeah, I mean, that song was written around, there's a lot of shootings happening on the news, school shootings and things, and that's where that song came from. And cool. You know, peace and love, man.
Yeah.
We don't need to hurt each other.
You're right.
It's really unnecessary. We're all people.
When I listen to a record, there's always a song that draws me the most. And for some reason, Blame Me was the song that pulled me in the most.
I love that song. Yeah, that's a very personal song to me.
Is there a chance that that will be your next single? I don't know what your next single is yet, because we're still playing Heaven Knows, and it actually just got bumped into Hot Rotation over at MMR.
No, the next single is actually going to be the song Fucked Up World, but we did a radio edit to Now Messed Up World.
That's a good song.
The next single, we actually just shot the video for that in Miami. It's definitely a different one for us. It was fun.
I was going to say, I like that song, but I'm like, this has some catchy hooks for the radio, but obviously it would have to be effed up world, and they'd have to edit the crap out of it if they wanted to put it on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, we changed it to messed up world because, you know, and I didn't have a problem changing the word because the fuck really isn't fucking messed. I mean, it means the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the point of the song. You know, it's all the other lyrics.
Now, when you play live, you're not going to play messed up world, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Live, we'll do the record version.
Thank you so much for your time, Taylor. Thank you very much for putting out an excellent record.
Thank you for listening to it, and thank you for playing it, man.
You
really
bet.
Much appreciated.
You bet. We're getting a lot of great feedback. The video's awesome for the song as well, and I can't wait to see the next video, too. So.
Yeah, the new video is going to be kind of, it's something, it's a little bit different than something we've done before. There's an element actually a very strong element of sarcasm in the video, which we've never really done sarcasm in videos before. So it's going to be something kind of new for us.
Well, again, thank you for your time. And we look forward to seeing you in Philadelphia sometime in the near future and kick ass in Europe.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
We'll see you in Philly.